हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 76, Sri Govinda Bhashya. Pad yuha va etad smashanam yach chudras tachmach chudra samipe nadye tav yam. One should not recite the Vedas in front of a Shudra, since he is like a moving cremation ground. Therefore the Shudra, like an animal, is unfit for sacrifices. The Shudra is not qualified for studying the Vedas because he is forbidden to hear the Vedas. Without hearing, performing actions like sacrifice, gaining knowledge of the meaning, and study cannot take place. These three are also forbidden. The Smritis also state the same. Nagnir na yagya shudrasya tatai va jayanam kuta kevalaiva tu shushusha tri varanam vidhiyate. A Shudra cannot attend the fire, perform sacrifices, or study the Vedas. He can only serve the upper three varnas. Vedakshara vicharena shudra patati tat kshanat. By trying to understand the syllables of the Veda, the Shudra immediately degrades himself. Right? Because how is he going to understand? He's going to understand by speculation, by his own feelings, how it'll like that. So, but the point is the Veda already has its meaning. It's not a matter of speculation. Does that make sense? So it's going to be seen from the central point, how this fits in. So that's going to be why it says you degrade yourself. Yes?
When we study, we don't really study the Vedas. We study the Acharyas and Smriti.
Yes.
Can you say that?
Yes, you can say. So that's why all devotees can do that. See, the Veda itself has a technical aspects to it, how it's done, how it's least. So, you know, there'll be adjustments, like, you know, the song is Bhajahare Mana, right? But then it's made Bhajamana Hare because it sounds better. So that's the problem. You have Sahasrashirsha, you know, but wouldn't it sound better? Sahasrashirsha, you know, that's the whole thing. That's why it says then they'll degrade. Because immediately you try to, you know, fit it into that kind of artistic. That's why the Veda itself isn't studied. Because the study of the Veda means it has the syllables. And those have tones. And all those things. And if you adjust any of them, it changes the meaning. So that's the difficulty. Is that what you're saying? So, therefore, what is being given there in the Vedas is then given in other Shastras. So the Mahabharata is considered the fifth Veda. The Puranas are the fifth Veda. So that whole section of the Purana and all that whole thing gives all the same knowledge, but in a form that we can relate to. You know, the stories, there's different things like that. You know, the personal dealings, the happiness, the anxiety, the successes, the failures, you know, all the things necessary for a good plot, right? So then that will make sense, because otherwise you have other, you know, these other things is that, what do you call it? What's his name? I don't remember, but he was then, he asked after he finished education, he asked his guru about, you know, what dakshin he would like, and he says, well, I don't need anything, ask my wife. She says she wants this pair of earrings that the king's wife has. Right? You know, so already, immediately, you have this whole scene. Right? It's not something that he can just go out and get, it's naturally his means, like that. And then in it, he's going walking along, and suddenly this guy comes along with his bull and just demands that he eats the dung. Right? And so like that. And then having eaten the dung, then okay, then he goes on, meets the king. Then the king mentions, he says, okay, you go in and ask my wife. He goes in, but no wife is there. So he comes back out, what's this, you know, what is this, some kind of trick? He says, no, she's there. So, but the only way she can't be seen is if you're impure. So have you done anything impure? Right? So he ate the bull dung but didn't do achman. So then he goes, sits down, does achman and that. Then he goes in, they can see her. Right? You know, so, you know, does that make sense? You know. Then, you know, he gets the earrings, gives the earrings, but then she says, Takshika's after these earrings. He really wants these earrings. So you have to be very, very careful. Then he comes out, the king says, oh, hey, why don't you, since you're here and you're so qualified, then why don't you accept the Shraddha ceremony for my forefathers? So he says, okay. Then they bring him the food, it's cold, it has a hair in it. So then he tells the king that this is unfit, I can't accept this. You know, it's impure. And then the king curses him that you won't have any children that will do your Shraddha ceremony. Right? We understand how this goes. So is this the kind of story that's super enlivening, or the ones in the Bhagavatam Mahabharata better? That's the point. Those are Vedic stories. So that's why then shooters don't deal with it, because, you know, what do you... You can't make a play or a movie out of those, so, you know, it's not fit. But the Bhagavatam Mahabharata, that you can. Right? So that's the whole... It's just too weird. There's too many questions, too many things. You just have to have faith that this is how it goes, and then... You know, it's not about the emotions, it's about this. Because you see and hear the whole thing of the emotions is not. It's all very just official.
What would be the reason that?
Because it's, you're dealing on the philosophical platform of the, you know, the obscure meanings of everything. So then what does all this mean? You're trying to just get down to what is this, you know. This is the study, so this is the nature through which they study. Then that's applied into the life. Right, so then what you apply into the life, that'll have the nature of the smriti. So for the Brahman, they have these two aspects. Right? Does that make sense? But the Brahman's occupation and his lifestyle have the same thing. But for the Shudras, and it's different. So then the difficulty comes is that it's hard to apply it across into the life. You know, they can't separate these two. Yes.
Taking into consideration the qualities of Shudras, then you can see very clearly why devotees that are in that position would not want to be considered that way. It's like sometimes Shastras giving them a very bad rap, like here.
No, but it's simply pointing out, it's not a bad reputation, it's just pointing out the fact. Just like the Vaishya, he'll tend to be very greedy about money. He'll get the money, but he doesn't want to part with it. Now, who parts with the most money? By nature, that's volume of money. But according to what they get, Shudras have to pay those who work for them. They have to give tax to the Kshatriyas, and they have to give charity to the Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? So in that way, it's so many aspects they lose money. So that's very hard for them. You know, Kshatriyas and their pride and this and that. The Brahmins. So everybody has the faults. It's always mentioned just that because, you know, the Shudra ones hit close to home. Therefore, we know, hey, what's this? You know, but the point is it's being strict about this with everything. You know what I'm saying? You know, like the Brahmacharya thought they shouldn't be lazy, they shouldn't be this, that, so many different things if we get into it. So all it is it's pointing out what are the weaknesses of these. So then because of this, then these will be points to discuss. So this whole discussion here is Vedanta Sutra, it's Nyaya, so it's not a mental thing. It's an intellectual thing. So it's just the facts. You're just discussing, okay, they don't have this qualification. They can't study the Veda. Why not? Because they can't hear the Veda. So if you can't hear the Veda, how do you study it? So therefore, then this example that anybody could be doing is not what is being meant here. Because what they want to do is not that they're liberal and want to say, no, everybody can study the Veda. They want to be able to say that I'm God. right? Because if you bring it back to everybody, you bring it back to the jiva, and therefore then the jiva is then everything. So it's not that they care about shudras. It's just a point that can access their, how do you say? Their position of the controller and enjoyer. Because when it comes to it, smartas really don't have a high opinion of shudras. So why would they be arguing the shudras' case?
They're only this is from the perspective of the smartas.
Basically, the whole Vedanta Sutra is.
Okay.
Because you have people who are following the Veda for different purposes, but they don't actually understand the real purpose. Mm-hmm. See, it's basically those who follow the Veda, you're basically going to get, strictly, you're going to get two kinds. Smartas or Vaishnavas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So then in the Smartas, then you have that variety, the Shaivas or Shaktas or Ganapatiyas, Sauryas, like that. And you have a group that they worship Vishnu, but it's a material conception. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then then the other is that they Vaishnavas, they'll follow strictly if they understand. But then you also have those who don't understand and don't follow strictly. So?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So shudras, they ask emotional questions in
yes.
their own forum. So how do we answer those questions? Because for people, those who work on logic,
right.
it's very annoying.
Yes. It means you have to use the logic within the logic within the emotional field. So in other words, the words you use, tone of voice and all that has to carry that kind of emotional, you know, friendly, you know, how you say, attitude. Then you'll also find is that you can still do from logic, because the question that you get, those questions that you're talking about, they won't be direct. They won't be, here's the Vishaya, here's the... You'll get the whole song and dance and everything, and then at the very end, you'll get their point. That's if they even understand what the point is. Sometimes they just, all these things in their head, and they're just talking, and they don't even know where it's going. But, so try to understand, what's the point they're trying to make? Then, somehow or another, show that you know what they mean, then go about explaining it. So you have to start with the Vishaya, but it's in context of what they're doing. So trying to see what they're saying in relationship to the philosophy, not what's wrong about it, but what's right about it. Then go about and establish what's the full right, so that's what, therefore you have to be careful of this wrong. Because when you start off with the wrong, then it's always taken emotionally.
Then when the preacher understands the question that they don't understand, if you point it out, they immediately shift to another point and say, no, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking, and then...
yeah. Then it's then in that case, try to catch words, or ask them to define it. In other words, if it's seen that they've used some certain word or words that you would normally take in a particular way. So then, but then they say, though, that's not what I mean. Then ask them to define that word or phrase. Because that's then where they themselves get a more clear picture, or that's where, having defined it, now you know what they're talking about. Because sometimes how they're defining it is very different than what you'd expect. Or by trying to define it, then they kind of understand themselves, so it gives it more easy to ask. So it's always, because otherwise, if you go just by the word, some people use it in so many different ways. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, I think one time there was something, let's say you have a village Bengali riot.
Riot,
right? Now, it's not an uncommon thing that people would be carrying bamboos, right? Okay, so then from that, so that's an impression. So then you see all them, but you know, they're angry, they're this, that. That's standard stuff, but these guys got bamboos, right? So then I remember something came up about about some something in a situation, and that it, everything was totally wrong about it. And so then the reaction was, this, the dealings with this should be, you know, something serious and all that. So then you say to the person, you know, so what do you think? And then you say, bamboos. And so in your mind you're thinking, a riot. But for them, bamboo is, you know, you make furniture out of it, or, you know, they don't, you know, so it doesn't get the same. So once you define it, then you know what they're talking about. So they're not talking about bamboo, they're talking about a riot. You know, so there'll be something in there that catches their attention. Does that make sense? You know. So it's like that. It'll be... There'll be, let's say, okay, let's say we take, like, for example, Latino revolutionaries or like that, right? So now you see them, they're generally going to have some kind of a military outfit and a beard, right? You know, so if you say, yeah, the guys with beards, you know, but then, you know, you're talking about, Bernard Shaw, or you're talking about, you know, Henry VIII, or, you know, like that, because you have a different idea. But there, they're thinking the guy, that means these guys. So then when you explain it, then it, does that make sense? So there's going to be these mental associations based on emotion. That's the difference. Well, the mental association, when you're talking about this, is going to be philosophical. Because as soon as he has to eat the cow dung or do this and that, what is there? The bull is a religion, so therefore there's something to do with that. You know what I'm saying? Or the worship of the forefathers. So then, yes, it's about the purity, and the forefathers demand the highest purity. Like that, even demigod worship doesn't require that standards. The Petri worship requires the highest standards. Like that. So therefore, if there's a hair in it, that's a big deal. You know, because that's someone else, if you go in emotional, well, just take the hair out. What's the big deal? No, if it that it's just impure, so it can't even, it's not a matter of, you can't be offered. Because the Brahmin eating it, that's the offering to the forefathers. Not like, what's the big deal? Eat it. It's a matter of, you're eating on their behalf, so therefore they won't eat something like this, so you can't eat it. So you see all the rules and regulations, the technical points and everything like that. That's the association that will come. You know, like he'll go along and there'll be, you know, something that's night and day. There'll be this wheel with, you know, 12 spokes, you know, and all these different things, or 6 spokes, you know. So it's 12 spokes, it's 12 months, it's 6 spokes. Then it'll be 6 seasons. It's the wheel of time. You know what I'm saying? But we'll think, you know, wheel and then, you know, like that, you know, and it's something else. And then, you know, some other association will get out of it. You know what I'm saying? So that will be the difference in just this kind of discussion. Then will be based on what are the formulas of logic. Well, what you're talking about is then that'll be formulas of emotion. So then you apply the principles of the masculine and the feminine principle of how you deal with that. Does that make sense? But, you know, you present the philosophy, but through that medium. And if you're able to do it and it works, then nice. But if not, they start shifting, then you start asking to define terms. Like that. Because sometimes you understand and they don't understand and they still don't appreciate it because they don't know what you're talking about. You know, everybody else in the room does. So if it's a person you can't, you know, because it's not uncommon that you have the person in the room that no matter how you explain it, they'll never understand. So you just explain it so everybody else understands. And once you get to that point and nobody else has any questions, then you just move on. You know, how you say, tell them, how you say? Thursday's on second base and it's leaking. And then, huh? And then move on, you know. Any other questions? Okay, so then, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So, in discussions with the these type of questions, most of the time you're having to connect the dots for them.
Yes. No, that's... Yes. Yes.
So when you're connecting the dots, often the tendency might be that you go into an area that maybe too close to the bone.
There you try to work on the mood and all that. You have to see. But when you find out that that is, then you be very careful. You know, just like I remember we were dealing something, I think, in Ireland. You know, the Irish tend to be very straightforward and down to earth and all that. So then I was talking about some aspect, you know, just very straightforward and down to earth. But it was down to earth, not in the, you know, how you say, friendly village manner. And so then afterwards they said it was a bit close to the bone. They could handle it, but it was, you know, a bit, because they're used to being straightforward but still having that personal. So being straightforward and just being philosophical, they're not used to. So I took the straightforward part rather than the personal part. So then you figure that you have to take the personal and straightforward. Or, you know, like the, those not from the, you know, from the, means those from the Celt background will have that combination. So that would be very similar to so many other cultures of the world. But then you get those, the Germanics and all that, so it'll be straightforward, non-personal. So then that's a different thing. So as long as they don't, you don't use any words that they would identify with, then they're cool with it. You know what I'm saying? So like that, then you learn the psychology of the different areas, different people, and then you talk accordingly. And it doesn't mean that there won't be some mistakes, because you can't always tell exactly. You know, it's like, Belgium. Okay, there's elements that there's some fineness and all that. You know, they make good chocolate like the French and all that. But at the same time, as they have that, they're not as, but at the same time they have that weakness that the organization is not necessarily their strong point. You know, like that. But at the same time, as they also do things in a cut and dry fashion like the Dutch, because they're right in between the two countries. You know what I'm saying? So then you have to find how does that work? Because, okay, Dutch you understand, French you understand, now Belgium. You know, and then you go over a little bit more Luxembourg, that'll be more German. But it'll have a little bit of the refinement of the France, you know, so does that make sense? So you just find wherever you go then what works for them. And then that's why then someone who preaches in a particular area, then that qualification is there, that they're able to preach, they're able to relate and everything like that. Does that make sense? So that's why preachers in a particular area that are successful, the natural tendency is to take shelter of those individuals. But not necessarily everybody fully relates, and so for them, some for you from somewhere else is... Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Because Vidura and others had perfected realization, their case cannot be considered, right? So even though they're Shudras, so Shudras can be liberated by gaining knowledge from hearing the Puranas and other texts. However, there will be some difference in resulting liberation. So you can say, oh, they're studying the scriptures and this and that. Yes, but they're not studying the Veda. But even if they did, they're on the liberated platform, so it wouldn't matter. They won't function as Shudras. So they technically could study. But generally speaking, those in those positions, they don't. So does that make sense? Not that they couldn't, but they just generally don't. Because why you can go outside the system, but everybody else around you can't. So why would you do something different? But at the liberated platform, then these principles of the Shudra thing don't apply. Just like the Vaishya wouldn't apply, Kshatriya, when you get to the realized platform, then they technically one's beyond, but since that's what you have, that's the environment you're in, why not use that? Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah. Just like, remember seeing... I don't know about now, but in the past, somehow or another, the kitchen pots in the Western temple kitchens They're always taller than they are wide. You know? Like they're meant for cooking soup or something. So I don't know. Is that the only thing they cook in the West? Soup or something like that? I guess soup and bread, right? Bread goes in the oven. Soup goes there, right? So, like that. So, then, you know, it's always a problem. So I saw, you know, people who are good cooks. You're cooking on one fire, right? So you're going to have your pot there. But they bring another pot or something, put it next to it. Right? Then you take the pot you're cooking in, turn it at a 45-degree angle, right? And so then you have that little edge down at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. So you're cooking on there. Then they'll make their chaunce in there. And then after the chaunce, then they'll make it straight, and they'll put in the stuff. And so you'll learn how to do, but say they had another pot that you could make the chaunce in, why would you do that? Not that you can do that, but not everybody can do that. So you do it in the regular thing. It's there. Why not use it? But if you don't have it, yes, then you do. So, yeah. However, there will be some difference in the resulting liberation, right? Because they're having it from perfected realization. That means their liberation will be devotional. While these others, the Brahmins and that, they can just get mukti. So there's a difference there. So it's only because of the devotional they can come to that platform, not otherwise. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Is it therefore that many traditions in India accepting bhakti is lower because even shudras can...
Basically, they do that. It's not based on mental speculation, so they'll consider that. The intellectual is always considered higher than the emotional, so therefore, then at least... Yeah, at least in the intellectual circle. As far as making money, I think it's the other way around. But, you know, saying art house films don't make any money, right? You know, so the how do you say? So from that point, then they consider it's yes superior and bhakti is lower. But what they don't understand is that personal and beyond, because they have no entrance into transcendence. So that's why they make the mistake.
They're without experience of bhakti, right?
Yes. Yeah, because unless you do bhakti, you can't understand bhakti. So how are you engaged in bhakti unless you come in contact with a devotee? So until one's come in contact with devotees, you can't actually appreciate bhakti. Mm-hmm. Bhagavatam verse reference. Shudras are prevented from recitation of the Vedas by their qualities. All living entities are awarded their qualities and work by the master plan of creation. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6.29. Living entities who are associates of Rudra develop in the third mode of material nature or ignorance. They are situated in the sky between the earthly planets and the heavenly planets. Right, so the Antariksha. So then Shiva takes care of them.
How's this going?
Means that the Lord is the one who's in control of this. Means they have these natures because it's the Lord's. So that's why it's not a matter of, oh, but this is unfair and this is not. No, this is just what it is. Therefore, if this is what it is, then God's created this way. Then, therefore, there's these higher things, and it goes back to God Himself. Okay. 3, 6, 29, 30. O chief of the Kuru dynasty, the Vedic wisdom became manifested from the mouth of the Virat, gigantic form. Those who are inclined to this knowledge are called Brahmanas, and they are natural teachers and spiritual masters of all the orders of society. Right? So this wisdom became manifest from the mouth of Virat, the gigantic form. Those who are inclined to the Vedic to this Vedic knowledge. In other words, those who appreciate Virat and how to apply that in your life and everything, that's the Brahminical platform. So there are those who, without devotion, can relate to this. We'd call them Brahmins by the external or the material consideration. So they are Brahmins. They can do those things. They can relate. But devotees then can relate to this because it's connection to Krishna. Right? So then from that aspect, then they get, but then the aspect they're going to get is devotional development. Right? But then you find many can't relate to this, because how many, it's like second canto, how popular is it? Right? Not very popular. But amongst the Brahmins, that would be popular. Because for them, that's practical. Why are you sitting on the blanket? Why not sitting on the mud? White cloth. Okay, so then it's a matter of cleanliness. So is the blanket cleanliness?
No.
But you get the effect of cleanliness from this blanket if you apply it in this way. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, what, since the blanket's not the one that's affording you that cleanliness, where does that cleanliness come from? It comes from the Lord, through the medium of this blanket if it's used in this way. Does that make sense? That's the universal form. So we can see Krishna. I'm sitting here because of that. Or in the winter, why are we sitting on it? Because it's warm. So the point is the blanket warm? No. But is Krishna's warmth can be manifest through the blanket in this way. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's the whole point of the universal form, is that it affords you to be able to see Krishna in anything that you value. You know, he's in everything, but you don't have to look at everything. You only have to look at what you're going to see and perceive with your senses and mind. Right? And so that then is what's important. You don't have to... it's not important that you perceive what's beyond that. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, you have the actor. What do they have to perceive in the drama? Their role, the emotions, the feelings, all that. What does the director have to perceive? The whole thing. What does the producer have to perceive? Yeah, and ultimately, why does it have to be put together? To make money. But does the actor have to worry about money? No. Does the director have to worry about money? No, like that. So that's the thing. Same thing. All three see a different perspective. So, does that make sense? So that's why that's why Krishna mentions in the second canto is that what you value, if you don't see it connected with Krishna, it's an illusion. So how do we see that? That's through the universal form. Then with time we see it back to Krishna, because we see Krishna's pastimes and everything like that. That then makes it very nice. Does that make sense? So therefore, then these advanced devotees, it just is automatic, it's just immediate, the connection between one and the other. But they'll see it within the forms and activities around them. So
if we're separated, it means that we still have that tendency to control and enjoy, therefore we're separated. And if we don't see it, it's because we're actually still in ignorance.
Yeah, okay, let's take the same example to a further thing. You're sitting on the blanket. For so your dhoti stays nice. Why do you want your dhoti to stay nice? You don't want to look stupid. So then it's a social thing. And then who? Okay, like that.
Or you don't want to get harassed back at home because you come back with the person at home.
Yes. Okay. So working on the dress to impress, keep the peace. Okay. Yes. Okay. Why do we want to impress?
Maintain status quo.
And what's the advantage of the status quo?
We're in a comfortable position.
So that, you see, it takes it to that. Okay, now let's take the harass. Why don't we want harass?
Peace and mind.
That's the other one. Right? In other words, that's the control part, that's the enjoy part. You understand? So that's the... So we're taking it back to there, but then if we take it back as no, it's because... So then, who means we're going by what people say, but this concept of keeping your clothes clean, we see basically in all higher societies within the world, it means any society, but you take the higher end of it, then they all appreciate that. That's how you tell who's the boss, right? You know, it's like so all the serfs are sitting there and head to toe covered with cow dung because they're out there working in the fields, shoveling cow dung. Some guy walks by, not a speck of cow dung on him, So now the people don't know who he is, so they speculate who he is. So someone says, well, he must be the king. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, that cleanliness. So why would that cleanliness be accepted, universally accepted? Where does it come from? From Krishna, because the Shastra talks about cleanliness. Cleanliness is, you know, next to godly, like this. So that aspect, that's why it comes out. So then that's where we take it the other way. We go into the Shastra aspect. So the reason we're looking nice is because Krishna is recommending that. That's how you should look. Right? If you're working in, you know, cleanliness, you're going to be clean anyway. So that's the purity. Now, if you also have the aspect of the social, that's because you're working within the economic environment. Does that make sense? Or an environment of relations where it's appreciated. Does that make sense? So that social environment, that's what that's going to create the need for the cleanliness. That means you can't see any dirt. Right? Now, that you can't see dirt, but let's say your clothes are impure, will that matter in a social environment? No, because no one can see it. You understand? Yeah, that's the whole point. So now then, but the Vedic is, it's about cleanliness is to get to purity. If I can understand cleanliness, then the next step is purity. Because if I think it's just clean because of that, then, you know, we end up with cleanliness disease. Right? So the purity is the thing we're trying to get to. And why? Because that purity brings the help of the consciousness to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's all, that's the path that we would take through the whole thing. And you see, in that, if we're able to be pure, and therefore remember Krishna, do we look nice also for socially? Yeah, so the social, economic, and all that, and then you come home looking clean and pure, then the wife is happy. So it works on all levels. That's what it means that devotional service already includes. We think, oh, if I do devotional service, I lose out on these things. Because then in the Shastras is talking about, oh, just being clean is not so special, just being pure is not so special, it's about remembering Krishna. So what's the conclusion? I don't have to be clean or pure, I just have to remember Krishna. Right? But we're not talking about avidhuts that are, you know, that aren't doing that. We're talking about sadhakas to get to that platform. So these have an effect on them. Without these, they can't even remember Krishna. Does that make sense? And most devotees that you see, is not that many take the role of an avidhut. Right? They generally, they use the role of a sadhaka. You know, like Rupa Goswami recommends. Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, then it already includes everything. So when it says devotional service includes everything, that means devotional service means you're going to express that devotion through your position. So the aspects of varna and ashram you're going to be applying, and the benefits of those aspects of varna and ashram you're going to get. But you're not doing it for that, you're doing it to please Krishna. Those come on the side. Does that make sense? You know. So it's like you order a drink, a cup comes along with it. But if you're focusing just on the cup, so then you make the endeavor, you get the cup, but it doesn't mean you have the drink. If you have the drink, you automatically have the cup. So that's the difference. You know, so then you say, yeah, so just learn devotional service, practice. But what about the cup? What about the cup? You know. So that's the point. The drink comes in a cup. But it's not about the cup, it's about the drink. Is that what I'm saying? Okay, footnote 46. Srila Prabhupada comments. Everyone is situated in the body of the Supreme in his gigantic Vishwarup form. In terms of the four orders, therefore, no caste is to be considered degraded because of being situated on a particular part of the body. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:6:30, purport. Right? So the Shudras are the feet. So when we say, if I'm trying to, be emphatic about somebody should think, and I'm using visible, obvious ways to show that. What am I going to do? Right? Am I going to go think? Right? Well, isn't it? What am I going to do? Think. So, who's the head? The Brahmins. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. The lotus feet of the Lord are very respectable, but that's not the part that's doing the thinking. By Krishna's reign. Not that Krishna can't think with his feet, but his point is that, we can't.
So thinking on your feet is really good.
Thinking on your feet, not with your feet. so it's, that's the whole point. So it means you're going to get things done. So with your shudras, then think, be practical, get it done.
Right, this is why you see that because the impersonalists are not relating to the personal aspect, this is why we get all of these misnomers, because it's not perfectly applied.
No, it's not. It's not perfectly applied, and it's not personal. Because if we say, no, but everybody should have the same opportunity, is it personal? It sounds personal. That's the illusion. But it's not about any one person. And in fact, if you bring up just everybody, then, oh, no, not him. The CEO of Monsanto, is he included? No. He's the guy that's doing this and that . So no, so it's impersonal, and then when they do apply it personal, it's very, very limited to their own social group, right? But let's say you have, so it sounds good intellectually, but in dealings then it'll have no taste because it's impersonal. But let's say you get into the taxi driver is very pleasant and nice and all that, and very helpful and all. And generally, because I'm a taxi driver, I do this. I'm to help people go around town, that's what they'll appreciate. So he'll help you with the things, help you with the luggage, just that, won't harass, won't try to, like that. And you appreciate, that was a nice taxi driver. Does that make sense? Because they understand what's their position. They play that role, and it works perfect. So if someone's a perfect Shudra, perfect Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmin, you appreciate. But as soon as you take it out of that context, then nobody likes. Any of the four not done nicely, no one likes. And done nicely, everybody likes. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, in Jeeves and Wooster. Okay? Who's actually the main character?
Jeeves.
Because Wooster's a loser. So that's the whole point. Jeeves is the actual, he's the clever one. But what is he? He's a Shudra. You understand? So that's the thing. It's not that it's not an outstanding thing, but it's when it's done properly. That's when it's appreciated. That makes sense? You don't know Jeeves and Wooster. Wooster is somebody from English aristocracy, but a total loser. And then one day, a butler shows up, which is a Shudra, right? And he puts his whole life in order, and all his problems he solves. But he does it as a butler from the background, because that's his duty. He's supposed to take care of, who he works for, and so then he gets it done. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6.31. Thereafter, the power of protection was generated from the arms of the gigantic universal form. And in relation to such power, the Kshatriyas also came into existence by following the Kshatriya principle of protecting society from the disturbance of thieves and miscreants. Right, so we see is that this is then defining that, you know, but in connection with the Lord. Right? So we see is, okay, the head is, that it's in connection with the Lord, bringing that aspect out. 3.632, the means of livelihood of all persons, namely production of grains and their distribution to the prajas, was generated from the thighs of the Lord's gigantic form. The mercantile men who take charge of such execution are called vaishyas. Right? So everybody's maintaining themselves because of the vaishyas. Right? Means everybody has money, everyone eats because of vaishyas. No one else is producing money. They're the ones producing all the money. The shudras work, and that they produce the money. The kshatriyas create the protective environment in which you can make money. Does that make sense? Right? And then, what is, you know, what's the purpose of living is then to live human life that you learn from the Brahmins. So in other words, the Vaishyas make all the money. Knowledge comes from the Brahmins. Protection comes from the kshatriyas. So,
untrained Brahmins, what would be their kind of sphere of activity?
Well, from what, from this conversation, they're dvijabandhus. So then, kind of whatever they end up with, whatever the family wants to engage them in, or if they're not with the family, then whatever society, wherever they find their place. So basically, it's just they end up as shudras. You know, they may be smart shudras, but still shudras. Okay, 3.633, thereafter service was manifest from the legs of the personality of Godhead for the sake of perfecting the religious function. Situated on the legs are the shudras who satisfy the Lord by service. Right, so here, this... okay. For the sake of perfecting religious function. So in other words, Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas are supposed to be engaged in Dharma. So now that has to be accomplished. Right? The Vaishya can do some business himself. But, you know, like you see out on the road, right, there's Vaishyas sitting out there. One guy, he's one piece of cloth on the ground, and then his wares. But now, if he has shudras, it's much bigger. If you have a shop, there's shudras. So that means that perfects, it develops that. Or the government, then they have their shudras. Does that make sense? So like this is that they for the sake of perfecting the religious function, right, making it greater, making it accessible to everybody. So that's the whole point. So it's not just they do work, it's that they're doing work connected with religion. So if the dvijas see their work as religion, then engaging the shudras then is part of that. But if they don't see their work as religion, then either they'll exploit or come up with these philosophies, no, but nobody's a shudra, we're just all this, that. That means they don't see it as religion. They see it as a social position. So in other words, the shudra's position is lower on the social status. We don't want it to be lower. You know, everybody should be equal and all that. And so, but it has nothing to do with religion. Because as soon as you make everything equal, nothing functions. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you have... Okay, let's say someone has some nice, they're serving dinner, right? Nice naritake dinnerware, okay? And so then, but, you know, so then in this, then you're saying it's all equal. So then why we're saying that the meal is important? Because these plates, without the plate, then how does it have, it's only a social event because of the plates. So what happens if you just bring out the dinnerware and no food? Right? So that's the thing, it's all equal. Or the plate's equal to the fork. So we'll put the fork there in the middle of the, you know, the setting and all that, and we'll put your soup on top of that. Right? And then you can eat that with the, you know, crystal glass, you know, try to scoop it off. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that it's absolutely foolish, but the funny part is, due to illusion, you know, illusion, cheating, propensity, making mistakes. What's the last one? Imperfect senses. Then we try to make it look like it's That sounds, it is, that's right, it's great. Yes, everybody should get the chance. You know, like that. I mean, for some people, they would like the soup and the champagne glass and the champagne in the soup bowl, right? They get more champagne. And they don't like soup anyway. Yeah, yes.
I'm thinking that Srila Prabhupada introduced that concept of spiritual communion, but it's misunderstood.
Yes, because it means everybody has the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. So everybody has that, so that should be seen, that everybody in their position can be Krishna conscious. But the work that everybody does has to be different. If everyone's doing the same work, what do we need? Okay, we have this big, you know, you come there, you know, the shot pans up at the building, you know, from the front, so it looks like it's, you know, like, you know, 500 stories tall, like that. It's only 30, but, you know, it looks like that. Then you go in, and when you go in, there's about 500 people crowded into that lobby, all in security outfits. Because everybody's doing the same thing. No one else is in the rest of the building. Everybody's right there because they're all doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Nothing will work that way. Someone has to be the security, someone's at the desk, someone's the janitor, someone's taking care of, you know, how you say, the meeting, someone else is, you know, looking at the accounts. Like, so that's the whole thing. We can say it's all equal, but the point is each thing has its uniqueness, and the point is each conditioning has its position it can work with. The guy that does security may not be able to do the accounts, and the guy that can sit at accounts may not feel comfortable in security.
The argument is that, well, the modern argument is that, at least in the modern, you have the opportunity, all opportunities are open for you.
All
so
opportunities.
I'm not huge to be a security guard, but I'm not forced to be a security guard.
Yes, but the point is what's the qualification of a security guard? We're not talking about like TSA or something. We're talking about, you know. Yeah, it means they have to be able to, you know, be assertive, know what the rules are, possibly deal with physical, you know, how you say, altercation and stuff like that. So you're not going to have somebody who's, you know, in a wheelchair doing this. Okay? So that means they require some qualification. Okay, now let's say you know nothing about accountancy. Would that be appropriate according to the modern to say, well, anybody could do it? You know, it's just like your accountant is sick like that, and so then the guy who deals with personnel and all that goes down to the front door, looks out, there's a kid going by on a skateboard. Hey, kid, you want to do the accounts and all that? So, yes, it is, but you still have to qualify yourself. That's the point. The Vedas are saying exactly the same thing. All the four varnas are there, but you have to qualify yourself. So if the Virat Purush means something to you, then yes, the Brahminical position is there. But if you think that's stupid, that's not practical and all that, then it's not yours. You know, it's like if you can protect the people, you see administration is to protect people. That's how you do it. Then you can do that. If it's just, no, I want to be in charge and all, it's not for you. Like that. If you want to make all the decisions on making money but can't make money, can't produce, then why will it take there? You understand? And is that you don't want to work for anybody else. You want to do whatever you want because everybody's equal and all that, then you don't fit in there either. So that's the antija category. So in other words, the modern is antija. And then trying to say that you can do anything. Yes, the opportunity, but you have to qualify. You want to be a doctor, can you flunk out of grade school and high school? Right? You got to get 4-point average, right? Then you can be a doctor. So anybody who's done a 4-point average can be a doctor. They may decide to do something else. You know? But the point is that's required. So that's the whole thing is, yes, anybody can do it, but what's your qualification? So you're saying anybody can do it with no qualification? So why is it on the material when it's in the economic forum will demand qualification, but on the when it comes to these things that we're seeing that we don't understand, then we'll say, no, anybody can do it. But the point is, Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra is economic. But we don't understand economics, actually. Because how many people were trained in it?
funny thing is that people, you know, in anxiety, keep their options open. That's the most work.
Yes.
But they never use it anyway. It's just that position.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That I can do whatever I like, but it never happens because the qualification isn't there, so I actually can't do it. But
I'm not going to say that because I'd feel bad.
So it's all about feelings. It's all about...
Yeah. That's why we're saying that, that Shudra mentality.
Yeah.
It's because they're the ones that look at all this so like that. Vaishya, who's the Vaishya going to hire? A guy just that can do exactly the work that's needed or just anybody? No. The Kshatriyas, who are they going to engage? People that can actually get things done or guys that just sit around and talk and it's so nice and, you know, we can all be friends? And right? No. Like that. And in the Brahminical area also, depending on what it, at least you have to have brains and have passed all the tests. Whether you know what to do with it, that's another thing. You know? You understand? So that's the whole point is that that's what it is. So what does that leave you? Then that leaves the Shudra. Means anything else. Assisting in these things and whatever do we, but then it's also according to your, how you say? It's according to your qualification. Yeah? Yes.
But if you look at the system, it's also it's like from the small children, they're encouraging that way. Like they ask the kids, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" You know, and they can just come up with anything. And throughout school, that's how they determine. It's like what when you finish high school, whatever. What do you want to do? Like,
no, but it's also what you have done. Means that the person who's going to try to situate you in high school. I don't know, what do they call these guys?
I like some counselor or something.
Okay, this counselor is going to look at your grades, you know, and what the teacher's comments are in there, so your grades, your participation, and then your interest. Generally what they do is they've already studied this, then they call you in. And then they'll say, from your work and things and interests, you could be successful in these five areas. You know, so is that, you know, what do you think? And then you discuss it, and then they generally do that. It's not that they, you know, they give five areas and he picks the sixth. Like that. They're already going to start that you actually, you could fit into these. You know, you have, you know, an interest in, you know, this thing, and you're good with people, so you could get into the, you know, hospitality thing like that. But also at the same time, you do like this with people, and then you could get into entertainment. But, you know, so they'll deal like that. They'll deal with what you already have. They won't just say, well, what do you want to do? And then he'll say, I want to be a fireman, right? And so, you know, like that. And so then he'll take him out to the jungle gym and he'll have to slide down the pole. And if he doesn't get blisters, then he can be a fireman. And if he does, then I'm sorry, kid. You know?
But I'm just saying that it's about also that the individual's desire more than the qualities. Right?
But the point is that guy is just there to give counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Now if his job depended on how many of those kids and which way he advised they actually got situated in the world and that, most of them would be out of jobs, right? You know, so that's the thing. Because that's run by the school, not by the businessmen.
Yeah.
If it was run by the businessmen, then it'd be a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So, but the Vedic thing is yes, you can't, but you have to have the qualification.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Vedic system is that, because you talk about, you know, oh, but then in this, then there's discrimination. There's no discrimination in the Western culture. People don't discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know, there's no community, there's no national, there's none of these things.
No, they just drew lines around what they want to discriminate in.
Yeah, so but the whole point is okay,
it,
you know, but it's always a problem,
yeah.
You know. So the point is they discriminate.
Yeah.
So it's just like you can say is that the guy with the umbrella and the bowler is discriminating against the other guy that's, you know, his pants are too short, yeah? Yeah, or the other guy wearing the bowler and and eye makeup. So, like that. So there's going to be, but there's both ways. That's the thing, is everybody's discriminating. So, and then at the same time we say that, oh, the modern doesn't discriminate and the Vedic is. No, it's not like that. People discriminate because of the mundane. Is that what I'm saying?
Krishna, isn't it that Shudra is supposed to assist with the upper three Varnas? So
yes.
Then a particular Shudra is assisting the Brahman Varna in the services. So it has been observed that the Shudra acquires the qualities of a Brahmana and his entire lifestyle has been changed.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, it's quite positive, you know, that he is developing, you know, the association with Brahmana. So like, then we can say that he then becomes qualified, you know, to study the Vedas, because
that means if he takes that up, he'll gain something. So if he gains, the point is if he doesn't gain, it's not a problem as long as he does his service and the etiquette is there. So on the job, if he does all the things that he should do that support the Brahminical, you know, endeavor, then that's fine. But if at home he doesn't, no one's going to complain. If you start to see he develops that at home, then that's nice. But it's not necessarily that it's up to the same standard. You know what I'm saying? So when they're cooking, they're not tasting everything. And you know what I'm saying? Like in the West, women cook. After they finish cooking and all that, they serve, then, you know, sit down and eat. Oh, I'm not hungry. Why not? They've been eating through the whole cooking process. So they eat later. You know what I'm saying? So now let's say they stop doing that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all the qualifications are there. But according to the slow path, because we're talking here, we're working on the principle of just the material, then there's a good chance next life they might take birth as a Brahmin. Then they'll be able to practice it and all that, because now it is of value and they're in that association that's expected of them. They'll live that. Does that make sense? You know, and if they're able to, then nice. And if not, then they'll be a Dvija Bandhu. So maybe, you know, better luck next lifetime. So the only thing that speeds that up is devotional service. Now, if by performing these activities they develop the Brahminical qualifications, and they do those things, nice. But unless you have the Brahminical, we can't say everybody can do it. You know, it's like the Abhishek. Who should be doing the Abhishek? The Brahmins. But we always have this, you know, let everybody do. You know, everybody wants to serve the deity. But, you know what I'm saying? So it's just sentiment. But the qualification, they're all there, you know, with these funny grins on their face, hitting the Lord with the conch shell. You know what I'm saying? If you watch carefully, you'll see so many times the person behind the people bathing is moving their hands, this, that. They don't know what to do. You know, and then they're pouring, you know, how you say, 500 grams of material out as if it was a drip, you know, in the hospital or something, you know, because they're trying to get all the mercy and squeeze over you. And then there, and this deity, and that. They don't notice that the other one's bathing, and that, and this one's over here, and oh. It's not about the deity, it's about how much mercy I'm getting. So they're not qualified. Why are they doing it? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Is that one has to understand is that there is qualification. Because if someone comes up, bathes nicely, everybody watching, it's nice for them. But watching these other devotees, it's not nice for anybody. The only one that might think it's nice is the guy who's doing the bathing. But, you know, the Lord and everybody else is not necessarily impressed. So since it's about all the devotees, therefore those who are qualified to do the Abhishek, they do the Abhishek. That's what it means. That we have to make, no, everybody can do, it's all, everybody should be able to approach the Lord. Everybody can. Archanam is one of the nine. You have eight others to go by. Hey, hello. You know, what about Atmani Vedanam? Why don't we start with that one? You know, forget it, you know.
That's
not on the list. Right?
But everyone's at the festival watching.
Yes, that's the point. Therefore, then when you have those people there, then it goes nicely. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm. Is it a correct understanding that Vedic is very strict and the Bhagavad is lenient? In the upper ocean?
No, both are strict. It's just strict in what? Because in the Vedic, if you're God conscious, if you're Krishna conscious or not, you can still practice the Vedic. Mm-hmm. Like Smarta is still classified as a Brahmin.
Yes.
But they're not a devotee. So in that way, is the rules, in the secondary, that's where the strictness is. But in the Bhagavad, it's in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You're absorbed in the Lord like that, then the Bhagavad works on its own. If you're not fully absorbed, then you take shelter of the Pancharatrik to fill out your day. If that doesn't fully absorb you, then you take shelter of the Vedic. So it's always there. It means always conscious of Krishna, always conscious of Krishna favorably, always conscious of Krishna favorably without any interest in karma or jnana. Is that strict or not? How many people are doing that? Right? So, therefore, how many people are engaged in the Vedic system? Right? So, therefore, which is more strict? So, it's just a matter of where the strictness is. You know? And we say, oh, the Western's not, or this or that, or the Vedic's not. But the point is that it runs because of strictness. Does that make sense? The Western culture runs because of the strictness that's there. And that strictness is there, you know, so that everything's covered, so that those who aren't strict don't make a mess of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Means when we're saying nature means that doesn't change, we're talking about the occupational. But the point of the consciousness, that can change. Shudra will tend to be an anamoy, right? And the engagement is with the senses. So let's say they elevate themselves to the platform of anandamoy, but it still doesn't mean that the physical thing is and skills aren't the same. Does that make sense? But that's the mentality, means anamoy. We want to improve that. Yes.
Otherwise,
perverting religion itself. Because religion is defined by on the Manamoy platform by Shastra. And if you're not following that, then yes, then you're dropping it down basically to the central platform. Because what's the reason you're doing it? Because I like to do it. So that means it's the mind, so it's sensual. But because it's the mind, then we'll think, oh, we know it's something superior, but the mind is considered the sixth sense. Or if you're counting the working, the 11th sense. Because it controls them all. So the manifestation of what you do with the senses is the mind. That's why it's there. But if the mind's not controlled by the intelligence, which means it's controlled by Dharma, then it's irreligious. Because it is about freedom. No, but everybody should have the opportunity. But why? They don't have the qualification. And if they really want to do it, then qualify yourself.
Because when we're explaining this, for example, say about math or algebra, that it has to be qualification, because you can't put the numbers the way you like. It's exactly the calculation. People say, of course. Yeah. When you say about Vedic rituals, everything, you can make it beautiful, even the sound, the vowel, the syllable. It's a different calculation, different outcome.
Because it's outside of their sphere of understanding.
Can we compare Vedic systems to math?
Yes, it's exact. You compare the Western systems also math. It's just that how many people know it? The people that understand Western economics make money. The people who don't make money. It still works on the same laws. It's just unscientific. So you have a businessman running a hospital. It should be Brahmins running a hospital. If you had Brahmins running a hospital, it means doctors themselves were running the hospital, things wouldn't be so expensive. But when businessmen run it, then it becomes expensive. Same with schools. So that's the whole point, is that it gets mixed up, but the laws of education or medicine or business or administration, those don't change. They're eternal laws. So people just sentimentally think you can just because you feel like it. Yeah, so that's fine as far as relationships go. Because it says, okay, it's you and me against the world. Then what does that mean? It means that relationship with that person. So that means the two of you are there supporting each other. Are you necessarily going to win? No, generally world wins. You know what I'm saying? You know what I say? Maya's running it, so house always wins. But the point is you go down, you know, supporting each other. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So that's what you're trying to that's the thing that's being made there. Not that they can actually do anything, but they try to support each other. That's the meaning of it. So then you say, no, but everyone's equal, everyone can do. All you're trying to do is saying that, you know, we're supporting you as an individual. But the point is it becomes unscientific if we think that they actually can do it. That's foolish. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the... Yes? Srila Prabhupada adds, it is actually better to be a shudra than to be a brahmin and not develop the service attitude. Because that attitude alone satisfies the Lord. Right? Because devotional service means service. So that you're a Brahmin and don't have a service attitude, that is less important than being a Shudra and having that. That's the whole point. Is all these things are to learn something about serving the Lord. So everybody has something to offer. So that service attitude, the Shudra, is that everybody can learn from. You know, does that make sense? The protection of the Kshatriyas, the knowledge of the Brahmins, you know, the creating a prosperous environment for everybody of the Vaishyas. All these things can be appreciated by everybody. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the thing. It means, let's say you have a Brahmin or a Shudra wedding, generally to be very simple. Right? Like that. Kshatriya wedding, it'll be opulent, but it's more about the formalities of it and the ritual of it than about just the opulence. I mean, opulence is connected with the formality. Does that make sense? It's like royalty. But now Vaishyas have weddings. That has the maximum amount of opulence for everybody to enjoy. Because the Kshatriya one, you can look at it. But the Vaishya one, you can actually, you know, eat it. You know? You understand? So that's the whole point, is that they'll make it nice for everybody. So each one has something that they have to offer. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that it should be that as you go up, you have service as a fundament. Then service plus economics. Service, economics, protection. Service, economic protection, and knowledge. That's how it should go. Where you apply that, that's according to the thing. Does that make sense? So the Brahmin may protect students or, you know, family, community like that. They may not have to do the whole country. Kshatriyas can do that. But the point is it's still there.
Like if you see the bank, in between Bhagavad, Panchavati, and Vedi, the form, the mood is the same for the four, like, varnas. But when it comes to the Vedas, it's all about the focus is on the skill and
yes, on the secondary. It means, in other words, the Bhagavat, the focus is on the primary, that devotion to Krishna. It doesn't mean the forms aren't there. That's where the form. If we say the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, what does that mean? That means the Varnashram system's there. But it's not about the rules of Varnashram, it's about the devotion to the Lord. So it's used, right? In other words, who's managing all the cows and everything in Vrindavan? Nanda Baba or Mother Jashoda? Nanda Baba. Who's taking care of the house and the meals and all that kind of stuff? Mother Jashoda. So that's where it comes from. Does that make sense? You know, you don't see Mother Jashoda out there in the, you know, the bullpen riding on one of the bulls, you know, and yee-haw, you just don't see that. You know, it's just, you know, well, she, you know, she feels like she wants to. But the point is that's the point. She wants to, but then what about Krishna? So this whole thing is, oh, no, it's a clever way of illusion. That we think I'm being so intellectual, but all I'm trying to do is cover up. It's about self, the self-centeredness. You know, if I say, I want to do this, I don't care about anybody else. Oh, so self-centered, so this, that. Oh, no, but everybody should be able to do whatever they want and all that. So, you know, I feel like doing this, and that's why I'm doing it. Oh, wow, this is fabulous. Such an elevated personality. All it is just words. The one is straightforward, and the other gives fancy talk. But they're both self-centered. But of the two, you'll be able to work with the guy who's self-centered more than the guy who thinks he's not self-centered. Because you first have to teach him that he's not liberal like he thinks. He's actually self-centered. And that's going to be a real battle. But the other guy, he's self-centered. He knows he is. And then you point out, you know, are you satisfied, this, that? What about these situations? Weren't you more? Then he starts to get the glimmer. Yeah, including other people is... That's the whole thing. So, yeah. Okay, every living being, even if he be a Brahmin by qualification, must take to the transcendental service of the Lord. Both Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam support that this service attitude is the perfection of the living entity, because that's the inherent nature of the living entity. Because all living entities serve the Lord. So you're serving his desire. So that's basically what you say is that's the origin of the principle of the Dvija and the Shudra, is the Lord and the living entity. Right? So serving the Lord in all his different pastimes, that's what we want to do. Now, which one we do, that's going to be according to our nature. So who serves the Brahmin, who serves the Kshatriya, who serves the Vaishya, and then in which way they serve. You know, someone's the chauffeur, someone's the butler, someone's the cook, you know, like this. So that's the different things that according to nature. So according to nature, that's how you want to reciprocate with Krishna. But the service attitude is the fundamental point. So that's why, where's the problem being the Shudra? No one wants to be the Shudra, basically because no one wants to have the service attitude. Otherwise, if that service attitude is appreciated, what's the problem? Like a devotee I know, a super service attitude. I mean, you never saw him not doing some service. And that service is always directed under the direction of somebody. Always. And that's the only... I think there's been a couple others, the only one I remember right now, where they were saying they were a Shudra, not because of just that false humility. Oh, so you're the Brahmin. No, I'm the Shudra and all this. You know, that kind of thing. We're talking about, he just knew he's a Shudra. And so therefore, he's doing a best to assist in, according to his capacity, who he's assisting. And so, in this whole big preaching program, you could say, after the person that was the main one and their main preacher, he was actually the most responsible person there. He was the most senior of anyone there. Though there were some people who were managing the whole thing, he was actually seen as senior to them, as far as personally, not as far as administration. If you had a problem, you went to him. You didn't go to the managers. Does that make sense? So you either went to him, you went to the person he was working for, or the other main preacher. You know? So it was purely spiritual, you went to them. It was a little bit more, you know, personal, family related. You went to this guy because he was a grihastha. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Because he knew, I'm a Shudra. I'm doing these things. And he was most, you know, like Vidura. He's acknowledging he's a Shudra. But at the same time, basically one of the most, if not the most respected person in the assembly. So that's the thing. You do what you do. You're respected for it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. You do your duty, then people respect you for that. Does that make sense? Yeah. A Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra can perfect his occupational duties only by rendering service unto the Lord. So it's not the duty itself, it's the duty in connection with devotion. A Brahmin is supposed to know this fact due to the perfection in Vedic wisdom. So the Brahmin should know this. The Kshatriya Vaishya may or may not know this, but the Brahmin should know it. Like that. Then from that association, then the others will learn. Gone over time. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaurav Premanandi.